Welcome to this podcast message from Kingdom Faith.
History lesson for you. You're very welcome. That's okay. So suddenly Abraham became the first Hebrew, the father of Hebrews, the fountain of Hebrews, the founder of Hebrews. Have you still got that? So I want to know, okay, right at the beginning of this Hebrew nation, what did you want for people? He says, I'm going to make you great. Can I suggest to you, jury, that one of the things about being a Christian is God is determined to make you great. Man, he's got a passion. He's got a purpose. He's got a destiny. And it revolves around making you and me in the kingdom of God great. You can jump up and down if you've got the energy. I'm going to. And I will bless you. And I will make your name great. And you will be a blessing. I love this because it covers identity. I will make you great. The kingdom of God doesn't make itself great. The king makes it great. The kingdom of heaven does not make itself great. The Lord of heaven makes it great. So there's a connection between the prestige of the king and the dominion of the kingdom. Well, our king is the King of Kings. And our Lord is the Lord of Lords. There is no other name above the name of Jesus. Is that right? Is that okay to say that? Therefore, the name of Jesus makes the kingdom great. Not your name, my name. Whatever name you were called. Failure, weak, stupid, foolish, too fat, too thin, too old, too young. I don't care what name the world called you. Jesus called you by name. And he said, you're coming into my kingdom. And when you come into my kingdom, you take on my name. When you come into my kingdom, you receive my character, my nature, which is the Hebrew word for my name. Names denote a lot in the Old Testament and in the New. I don't care what name we were born with the first time. When we get born the second time, we receive an entirely different name. My name was Jonathan William Dyke when I was born the first time. Now it's Jonathan William Dyke in Christ. Thank you. I now have another name. The surname denotes the heritage, not the first name. So I've now been born into great potential. But it's got nothing to do with me. It's to do with the king of the kingdom. And God said this to Abram thousands of years ago, I will make you great. I just want to suggest to you this morning that God wants to make you great on this Sunday, the 13th of December. He wants to make you great tomorrow too. He wants to make you great on Tuesday. But how do we live in this greatness? Well, it's not through reputation. It's not through prestige. It's not through status. It's through relationship with God. Great people in the things of God, and we'll look at this in a moment, sometimes go unnoticed in the world. But God never goes unnoticed through them. Sometimes people who seek to be great, God kind of puts to one side because if we're greater than Jesus, he's going to do something with us, isn't he? Just look at another scripture that's going to come up behind me. This is from Matthew. The greatest among you will be your servant. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Now, here's an interesting kind of action-reaction. Remember that God wants to make his people great. He wants to bless them. And I love this kind of analogy. When I first heard this, the analogy given to me was this one. And hopefully it'll help you. In Genesis where it says, and I will bless you. And whoever blesses you, I will bless. But whoever curses you, I will curse. Just picture it this way. Imagine that you are in your first day at your first school. For whatever age that is, it might be 4 or it might be 11 or 16. It doesn't matter. But let's just imagine for a moment that there is a thug, there is a bully in that school. And that bully comes up and begins to point a finger at you. And maybe they get a little bit physical with you. Maybe they get a little bit intimidatory with you. But then suddenly out of nowhere, a bigger personality comes and says, if you touch him, you're touching me. That's what this means, is that when God said to Abram, if you curse them, I'll sort them out. You don't have to worry about them. I'll sort it out. But the other side is, if these guys bless you, encourage you, support you, love on you, you don't even have to feel in debt to them, because I'll bless them back. Now, I'm not suggesting that God is a school bully. I am suggesting that God is your defender, though. Do you understand that? God is our defender. He's our refuge and he's our help in time of need. So when I feel as if I'm carrying the curse, firstly, I've got to repent because Jesus carried my curse. Remember, he makes me great. I don't make him great. I don't have to go on the tree because he's on the tree. I just have to recognize when he went, I went with him. So when stuff happens in our lives, it's like, well, that's not very great, is it? All I need to do is come to Jesus and say, Lord, help me. Because you make me great. My greatness is not found in my ability to achieve. It's in my ability to humble myself under your nature. I don't have to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger or wear my pants outside my trousers and pretend to be Superman. I know some of you like doing that, but you're just weird people. No, I just need, here it says, to humble myself. Now, just explain this word humble a little bit, because I think sometimes we may misunderstand that. Humble is not weakness. Humble is meekness. Meekness is, I do not have any strength of my own, but my strength is positioned in Christ. It does not mean, I'm a Christian, do what you like. I'm just suffering for Jesus. Now, what this tells me in this scripture in Matthew is the greatest among you will be your servant, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled. I don't know about you. I've lost count the number of times that suddenly things have been brilliant. It's like, oh, it's great. Thank you, Jesus. Haven't I done a good job? And God says, really? Thanks, Stuart. It's like, I come in like the other evening at Wednesday night. It was such a powerful time. And I was awake after night saying, Jesus, you're so amazing. You're so brilliant. And God said, did you think you had anything to do with that? And I said, not really. He said, good, because you didn't. I'm learning. Andre, we love you. Sorry, when are you going home? But you understand what I'm saying here? God has a destiny for you. He wants you to be great. But that doesn't come out of prestige or status or reputation. It actually comes through God be in charge. God, in my weakness is your strength. In my lack is your abundance. In my lack of ability is your great ability. Because God wants to make you great. He set himself as a task. So those who serve with a great attitude, I've just written this down, it's not in the Bible, okay? Those who serve in the great attitude are seeking the welfare of others as though they were serving Christ themselves. Let's put it this way. Jesus rocked up, and even though it was in October, we'll celebrate it in a couple of weeks because that's the kind of people we are. And even though it wasn't in a manger, it was in a cave, it's all right because straw's nice. I don't know how many wise men there were. I mean, somebody said you can't find three wise men, but that was a woman that said that, and I don't believe them. It wasn't snowing. But let's move away from that romantic thing. Let's put it this way. Jesus in October was born in one of the lowest points in the world. Also in one of the lowest places in the world. And even in one of the lowest conditions in the world. There was nothing great about the birth of Jesus. There was nothing gold or palatial about the birth of Jesus. There was nothing with a symphony or an orchestra about the birth of Jesus except what heaven provided. Historically, they have actually said there was a star coming in an orbit close to Bethlehem at that time of the year. Well, I knew that. I could have told them that, saved them the time. They also can recall that there were certain magi who traveled from west to east. Well, I could have told them that as well. There wasn't Santa's little helper or Father Christmas. I could have told them that too. But what I can tell them this is that the person who was the greatest in the universe was born in the most humble condition in the universe. I can tell them that. For me, that's a tremendous definition of what humility looks like. Is that Jesus forsook all that he could have been and served the whole of humanity with who he was. That's humility. Woo! Even the stars bowed down. Every foreign worshipping person came and bowed down. Every head of dominion came and bowed down. Even the sheep came and bowed down. Even the shepherds came and bowed down. Even the donkeys came. Even my grandson Saxon came and bowed down. He was an angel of nativity the other day. What a little blessing he was. He was amazing. Good news, read all about it. So for me, greatness has got nothing to do with position. It's about function. You were just born great. Turn to the person next to you. Just ask him a question. Do you know Jesus? Just make sure. If somebody says no, it's fine. We can introduce you to Jesus at the end. If they've said yes, then you can look them right in the eye and say, God wants you to be great. So greatness is about walking in humility with Jesus. And on those times, and they happen to all of us, where suddenly we take place that should belong to Jesus, God is very, very good at saying, wait a minute, let's just reconfigure here. Let's just have a bit of a planning meeting here. So you think you did all of that? Yes. Wrong answer. You did do it, but I did it through you. You can do that, but I'm going to do it through you. You are all of that. You are everything that I've said, but I am it through you. Do you understand that? It's not, oh, I can't do anything. Or, ta-da, I'm here now. All things are sorted out. Oh, yeah, come on. Both of those things are pride. Just they sound different. One is, I can't do anything. One is, I can do everything. If it's got I in it, it's pride. Ooh. I can't do that. Jesus, help me. It's humility. Have you got that? Because God has decided thousands of years ago, whatever our age, God wants you to be great. You will be the head and not the tail. You are the cream of the crop. You are at the head and not the bottom. That's God's plan for you. He wants you to be great in your house. He wants you to be great in your marriage if you're married. He wants you to be great as a single person. He wants you to be great in the workplace. But the only way you're ever going to do that is knowing that you can't do it without the one who is greater in you working through you. We can't just say, he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world when our life is going pear-shaped. He still is, even when it's successful. He is always greater than he that is in the world. But we're just going to come to one last scripture here that we're going to look at. And Andrea is going to put it up there through technology on the screen behind me. And it's this. At this time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked him a question. It's a good question. Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? What a question. The question was for the disciples then. And Jesus answered it then. But the answer is for his disciples now. And I'm just going to pull out a couple of thoughts here about how we can be great. Remember that God wants us to be great in the kingdom. There's some clues here. He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, unless you become like a child, not childlike. God wants us to grow up in our greatness. He wants us to mature in our greatness. We're not childish. We're just child dependent on Father. But not childish. Oh, well, somebody needs to pray for me. Someone needs to read my daily Bible. Someone needs to worship for me. That is not what God is saying. What God is saying, alone, follow me into these things, because in these things you will grow up. I know we're all children of God, but God doesn't want us to behave like children, spitting our dummy out when we don't get our own way. or going in a room and saying, I'll scream and scream until I'm sick. That is not the servant of the Lord. But we all do it, don't we? Come on, you honest lot. So he goes on and says this, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children. He's talking to adults. He's talking to great big hairy people like Pete Norman. And Shane. And almost Stuart. He's talking to people who fish all night, who collect taxes. He's talking to adults, and yet he's saying to them, you need to become a little bit more childlike, but not childish. And he's saying the same to you and to me. In other words, Jesus is saying there is a direct formula between greatness and being childlike with me. I like that. I think that's cool. We've had some children around our house for the last few days, and it's interesting how they're just very open, very honest, very real. I think that's part of how we need to be. We don't have to faith it up. Faith is in your heart. If you're a Christian, it is. If it isn't, it can be. We can introduce you to Jesus. But we can only become a Christian by faith. So faith is in your heart. When we give our lives to Jesus, we become a new person. So new personality is also in our heart. When we ask for the Holy Spirit, we get the Holy Spirit, which means we have a Holy Spirit then. Now, I don't need to go back there like a child and say, gimme, gimme, gimme. A servant says, I want to give and give and give. So for me, one of the key ingredients in maturity is we have to do everything for our children, including wiping their bottoms. But I'm not doing that with adults. We have to do all kinds of things, like wiping people's noses when they're little. But we don't do that when we're grown up. We have to feed babies, but we don't have to do that when we're grown up. You understand that? So part of walking in humility with Jesus is every day I can grow up a little bit more. Not grow up in who I am, but grow up in who he is in me. Not grow up in what I can do or not do, but grow up in the fact that he can do what he likes through me. And we become mature, the Bible says. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. I believe as we today, over the next few days, invite people, pray for people, take cards out, invitations. I believe there's a welcome. There's a song there. There's a welcome out in Worthing for people who look like us. Who actually we haven't got in ourselves any answers, but we do know who has. I believe Worthing is on the cusp of opening up doors of opportunity because they welcome someone that is a little bit like a child, but they have a lion inside of them. They look like us. People at the night shelter getting blessed. Really beyond probably what they deserve, but then that's what grace is about. Isn't it? It's got nothing to do with what I deserve. It's about what God gives. And there are people out there who, in one sense, don't deserve to be saved. But then neither did I. And I'm pretty sure neither did you. So this tremendous greatness has got nothing to do with where we're at. It's where we will be. So we're going to celebrate some people who are great here. Now, you are all great. Just certain person next to you and remind them again, you are great. But I want to celebrate some great people, not because they're preaching in front of you every week, but actually they are. Because as they've lived their lives, they are actually given a testimony to, I'm doing something, not for me, not for my CV, but for the glory of God. And I'm going to ask Richard and Andrew to come out and join me. Dan Wood, but he's out in sunny Wales at the moment. That is a faith statement. And I'm going to ask my lovely wife to come out as well. Because I want us to celebrate some people together. Is that all right? And I've brought a specific kind of sweet here. And the chocolates. Did you see what I did then? That was cool, wasn't it? Oh, I'm in such trouble. And we're going to celebrate some heroes.
Yes.
And the first couple we're going to celebrate are Larry and Judy. So you need to come out. So these guys are faithful. They just get on with it. They pray. They love. They serve people. They love people. They plug all kinds of cables in. They run down the stairs without tripping over their Mohs skirt, all kinds of things. And we want to celebrate them. Awesome. And we want to celebrate Laura as well, who's very kindly sat on the front, so we don't have to walk too far. Laura does all the visuals and smiley face. We want to celebrate Terry, because he is our fashion guru. Terry. He is the jumper expert.
Terry, come on.
And we want to celebrate Antonia, who is on our first day in Connect team today. Come on, Antonia. And we want to celebrate Saren and Andrew. Come on, Saren, who does J24/7. Is just awesome. And Andrew, he didn't have the right shirt on today, but we love him anyway. We want to celebrate Vanessa. It was part of our Christ team, J24/7. Just got herself a brilliant job. We want to celebrate Norton and Vivian because they just look cool all the time. They're part of the Connect team. They just serve and love and bless. We want to celebrate Sue. Sue is just positive, awesome, all the time. We want to celebrate Shane and Marie because they always look Australian, but we love them. Organising PA and building managers and all kinds of things. We want to celebrate Fred, wherever Fred is. Fred's over there. Fred's a Connect team guy. Hallelujah. We love him. We want to celebrate Colin and Isabel because they are just brilliant at picking stuff up and moving stuff around.
Yep.
Won't be anybody left at this rate.
Oh, hello.
We want to celebrate Robert and Annie. Again, they... part of small group and homeless and Connect team.
Very good.
Want to celebrate Phil, who is a budding musician but already in the Connect team. So well done, Phil.
Yeah.
Want to celebrate Alba and Lorna, who just are awesome people.
Well done, Albert.
Come on, Albert.
Come on, Albert.
We want to celebrate Sandra because she's a brilliant small group leader organising about a shelter. Yay! Well, I would try and do this one in French, but it might start a war. We want to celebrate Estelle, Leon and The Bump because they're just brilliant people.
Le Bump.
Le Bump. There you go. What is it?
La Bus.
La Bus? That's a bit rude.
Yeah, it is. Thank you.
Wow. You don't look anything like a bus. That's really rude. We'll celebrate Liz. She's out doing creche. Andy Donner is out doing creche. Jamal and Myrna are picking up people. Yeah. Dan and Becca are singing in the mountains of Wales. Sharon and Richard, we want to celebrate you because you guys are awesome. Sharon leads a small group. She cooks all our food all the time. She does open houses.
Jonathan and Janet, we want to celebrate you. Yeah. We appreciate you.
Now, you might be sitting there thinking, nobody celebrates us. We do. We're all part of this. It's just what really God laid on our hearts as a leadership is we just wanted to celebrate like this. But we want to celebrate everybody that's here today. There's quite a few people that are not able to be with us today, and we celebrate them as well. We want to celebrate their friends and their families that are getting closer to Jesus because we're getting closer to Jesus. We want to celebrate the 118,000 people in Worthing who are getting closer to Jesus because we are getting closer to Jesus. Because being great is not about having a great name. It's about demonstrating a great name. Being great is not about, look what I can do. It's about, look what he has done. Being great is not about, how can you help me? It's how can I help you? And all of us do that, don't we? So we just want to celebrate you. We want to celebrate you if you sat down. You're sitting down brilliantly. You look really cool, chilled out. Louisa, you are awesome. Always praying. We love you. We appreciate you. Julie, you are being restored. We love you being around. Philip and Pam, great open house people. We love you. Graham, you do a great Thursday night with the media stuff. Sonia, isn't it? We just love you being around. You are a breath of fresh air. Vive la France. Allez le bleu. Stuart, we love your attitude. It's awesome. Steve, good drumming. Pete, I just love you.
Come on.
Give us a kiss. Thank you for bringing your boyfriend. Let's all stand up, shall we? Where's Margaret? She's gone round. I'm scared, Margaret. We're going to break bread together because it's a good celebration. We're just going to do that now. And I have no idea how we're going to do that, but it's going to be fun. One of the things which I think sometimes when we break bread is that we're far too miserable. For me, we're just far too miserable. This was a celebration feast time anyway. And that was just a response to what they had already been told by God to do. So it was a historic celebration. When Jesus rocked up, it was a now celebration. He transcended every reason to celebrate. Everyone. Because when you look at what he said, and what he said was, on the night that he was to be betrayed, everything that could go wrong, should go wrong, wanting to go wrong, was at the door of that room. But Jesus was in the room. Every crisis, every storm, every sickness, everything of death was saying, let me in, let me in. And Jesus says, you're not coming in. That's what it was like. Every lie, intimidation, jealousy, everything was pushing at the door saying, Jesus, you're on your way down. Jesus says, I'm on my way up. It says, on the very night that he was betrayed, it says, Jesus took the bread and he broke it and said, thank you. Thank you. He wasn't saying thank you for the betrayal. He was saying, thank you that I live above it. Thank you that you can live above it. Thank you that yours is the victory. That's what he was. He wasn't saying thank you because he was about to die. He was saying thank you because he was about to come back to life. Then it said, after supper, he took the cup and blessed it and said, this is my blood of the new covenant. This is a brand new contract. It even superimposes all of the other contracts, including the one we looked at in Genesis. But this was not just going to be through a direction of a word. This was going to be through the presence of Jesus himself. This was going to be beyond just somebody hearing a voice to someone living with the one who speaks it. That makes it totally different. So let's just close our eyes. We're just going to pray and then we're going to pass the bread and the wine around. Father, I want to thank you that what we want to celebrate right now is our victory that we have in you. Whatever we feel like, we know that you give us victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you right now that your victory is not emotional. It's not around feelings. It's around a fact of broken powers. It's around the victory over every reason why we should think we've defeated. So I thank you for victory over our bodies, over our hearts, over our minds, over our futures. I thank you for victory over our marriages, victory over our homes, victory over our walk with you, victory over our workplace, victory over our going in and our going out, victory over our market experience, victory over our finances. I thank you that today we celebrate the victory that you have given us. You can clap him if you want. If you're going to clap him, clap him. Hallelujah. And as we pass the bread around, man, celebrate. Look happy. This is a victory meal. In the face of every enemy, we're saying, no, God's made us great. We can do great exploits. Why? Because those who know their God are strong and will do great exploits. Let's pass the bread round. Whoever's got that, I have no idea. And then we'll pass the cup round in a minute. When you pass the cup, just say to somebody, right, where do you need to see God's greatness today? And let's agree and we'll see it. Where do you need to see God's greatness expressed today? And let's agree and you will see it. Amen. Bless you. Amen.
No. Was it a bit loud?
receive your miracle right now if you need it. You don't need a great musician to receive from a great Savior. You don't need a great kind of atmosphere to receive from the great healer. Just ask.
Absolutely.
Ask him. Ask and you will receive, the Bible says. It doesn't say play 28 verses of a Hillsong song. It just says ask. Don't say four choruses of Kingdom Faith. Just ask. Just ask. And you shall receive. You having a good time?
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.